Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's Breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Prime time, Saturday night, Steelers-Ravens, and the Steelers are in such a state that we're wondering about the vibe around here. Normally, it would be people, you know, rallying in the streets here, Bob. I've been to Steeler pep rallies before playoff games. That's where the all the Cornish hen questions came from. Limits. Bob, do you remember I used to go to those and ask people if they liked Cornish hens by any chance?
Yes, I remember that, certainly. And I do remember beef jerky.
Yeah.
And all the other favorite items you like.
It was a different time then, it felt like. This is just very strange, I have to tell you. You've been in this town longer than me. You were born here. You know, this would be Steelers Raiders of the 70s and the entire town being like, yeah, this kind of sucks. But you're saying everyone rallies by game time. I'm wondering if people are starting to rally already, especially given the fact that the Ravens are mocking the Steelers, or at least George Pickens, who last I checked is a member of the Steelers, going into this game. So it's a vibe check, Bob. What is happening in our town right now as the Steelers get ready for the hated Ravens?
I mean, it's simply a function of losing four in a row. That's all it is.
And the playoff win drought,
right? All of that. And that's why if they had success in the last 2 years in the playoffs and this sort of happened, I think people would write this off and say, okay, it was all good teams. They were in it. It's a whole different viewpoint. Because if you break it down, I mean, they were in these games, the Philadelphia game, even before the Najee fumble. The Ravens game, as we've described, late into the game, could have gone a different way. And even the Bengals game, for as sloppy as that was. So I think if they had success in the last several years in the postseason, people wouldn't have the same feeling. They'll say, well, it'll be fine. Once the playoffs come around, Steelers have had success in the postseason. But because they haven't, and it's been so long, the doubt creeps in. And so that's what I think you're seeing.
I just have a feeling that it's going to be an ugly Steeler-Raven game, that Tomlin's going to ugly it up, especially with the Ravens without Zay Flowers. But anyway, back to the vibe check. We'll get to the quarterback at the top of the hour, and Rob Long from The Fan in Baltimore, one of our best guests.
He's always fun.
Oh, is he great? he has been for a long time.
Cuts through it all.
let's go to the lines.
Let's start with Mark on the road.
Hello, Mark.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Just wanted to say that I definitely agree with a lot of what you guys are saying. As far as the vibe check is recently, especially with Bob, how he says that the vibe and tone of the local fandom kind of tapers throughout the week. It's more reaction early, and then it kind of goes into, like, cautious optimism before game time.
Yeah.
But I think why I'm so skeptical going into this game has a lot to do with what we saw last week against the Bengals, because I know that the teams are totally unrelated in that regard, but when you see what they were able to do against the Bengals just not long ago, an aggressive attack, you know, kind of go after them being known as like a very weak defense, and then the Steelers come out last week and do a complete 180. They want to control the clock. They want to keep Joe Burrow off the field, and then they come in with a very cautious and conservative game plan. It lacks creativity. And there's, unfortunately, no margin for error when it doesn't work. And that's the mentality they go into with Ravens games of, you know, control the clock. It's going to be ugly. But when that doesn't work, there's no adaptability. And then that's where everybody starts, by halftime, gets real upset at their television, like Bob was saying. And then you see people going on Twitter saying, oh, well, we know what's going to happen now because the Steelers just can't adapt in-game scenarios and try to pull out a victory that way.
Although they have every time almost against the Ravens. That's my point, but I do agree with you in general, absolutely. Even Najee said it, and I appreciate the call last year, right before they got rid of Canada, was when we play this way, there's just no margin for error. You know, so generally speaking, I agree with that, but against the Ravens, it seems to work by and large that the Steelers pull it out late. Or the Ravens blow it late.
One of the two things can happen. And that's why for the Ravens, they better jump out and make this you know, a big lead and force Pittsburgh to try to catch up, which I think they're best suited. I'd rather see them in that position to throw. We saw in the fourth quarter of Cincinnati, they finally became a passing team again. And to your point about Russell Wilson and what Mike Tomlin sort of intimates, boy, they stress that don't turn the ball over to the point where it becomes almost a cautious way of doing business offensively.
Yes.
And in the NFL, you can't be cautious and expect to succeed on the offensive side of the ball. You just can't. The longer that goes, the worse it gets.
Next.
Here is another man named Mark who's in his car.
Hello, Mark.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. How are you today?
I can't speak for Bob, but I'm doing wonderfully.
It's good to talk to you, Mark.
All right, so I'm going to paint something here, and I think it's because it's a Pittsburgh thing, and we are so loyal to our head coaches and general managers and managers and what have you. But I want to look at the similarities here for real quick. So you've got a veteran head coach and veteran players on the Steelers. Veteran coach and superstar veteran players on the Penguins. Some similarities with the Pirates, you know, aging players. And Pitt with, you know, Narducci, who's been around a while, and they're struggling there.
Bob, what do you think of the job Narducci did last season? Good or bad?
Bad.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, sir.
No, so this is, I think, you know, I think it is a Pittsburgh thing, you know, because in other markets and other cities, you know, certainly we've changed bench coaches and hitting instructors and offensive coordinators.
What's your overall point, though?
Well, what I'm getting to is similarly to what a lot of people have said, this is a very defining moment for Mike Tomlin and these veteran players. And they had better get their heads straight. I mean, because quite frankly, we should be inside their heads. You know, with the you know, playoff history and with a lot of the history that Tomlin and Harbaugh have.
For sure.
And that's got to happen.
If I could build on that, it's sort of what we were just talking about, Bob. If not now, then when? For TJ, Cam. Cam's been part of one playoff win in all his years.
That's the guy I feel badly for the most.
Yeah.
I mean, he's given everything he has to this organization and this city, representing it beautifully, like Sidney Crosby has done. But he doesn't have the hardware.
Neither does Narducci. Does he, Bob?
You know, sometimes in Italian lore, you can call it, that may be the proper way to say it. I don't know.
It might be. I don't know. It just sort of stood out. Next.
Here's Seth in Long Island.
Hey, gents. Good morning. Hope you guys are doing well.
Thank you, Seth.
Hi, Seth.
Hey, man, I got to tell you, I bleed black and yellow for a hell of a long time, but the anger, the frustration, it can be both ways, right? You can be angry, you can be frustrated because you're watching the same movie again and again and again, and still have that optimism that you're going to beat the Ravens. But, you know, Mr. Austin, I'm a huge Fields fan, never been a Russell Wilson fan. Teach this kid how to throw, right? Lamar was not the most accurate throw when he first came into the league.
Mm-hmm.
They taught him how to throw. Look what you've got now.
Best numbers in the pocket of any NFL quarterback.
Who's that?
Lamar.
Mm.
Yep, and teach him how to throw. He's got the rest of the skill set. He got short shrift in Chicago. How many offensive coordinators, coaches? He got humiliated. The kid's a great, is a solid soldier. Look what he did. He got benched. He said, I didn't play well enough.
What's your overall point, Seth?
My overall point is I'm cautiously optimistic. My vibe is that I want them to win. And the only other thing is if they don't win this game, after 18 years, I don't think Tomlin is strong enough or has enough. He's too prideful to step down, almost like Belichick. Changes have to be made. Arthur Smith should be gone. It's like watching paint dry. And we're being mentioned. We're being laughed at. We're being mentioned in the same name. I live in New York, right? Look, Coughlin had to beg for his job when he was 8-8. This is a joke. It's a joke. It's a travesty.
Yeah. No, I hear you for sure. Appreciate the call. Bob? What did you think of the Adam Schefter, at least one team called to see if the Steelers would trade Mike Tomlin? See, people laugh at that and think it's crazy. I think that's the ultimate way to move on because you do it respectfully. Art will never fire Tomlin. Even if they agree mutually to move on or if Art gives Mike the strong inclination that he wants to move on, it'll never be a firing. At least not announced that way. It'll be a mutual parting of the ways.
I think that's the way they did it.
But trading him would be ideal.
Okay. Generally, that I understand that belief, but I will throw this out maybe. Only thought about it long when I heard this story. What if in Mike Tomlin's contract he has a no-trade clause?
Oh, my gosh, he does. You're right. I just read that today. However,
because
that doesn't preclude you from trading
him, does it?
He was
back in Tampa when he saw John Gruden traded.
Yeah.
And maybe he didn't like how that all went down. I'm not sure how that goes.
No, I think I just saw on Steelers Depot maybe that he does have a no-trade clause.
Well, then that would end any of that speculation.
No, it wouldn't. You just ask him to waive it. If you know that your own franchise
But if he has it in there, his intent is not to be traded.
Right.
So that would take some doing, I would imagine.
So what do you do? Just resign?
Well, I know. I'm just saying. I think all things are up for conversation.
Asking,
I think
what would happen?
Whatever would happen, if it ever comes to that, it would have to be mutually agreed upon, and something would have to give both sides. And if that means him saying, okay, fine, I'm good without it, even though I have it in there, I'll move on past it.
No trade clauses were meant to be broken.
But they're also meant for a reason. Most coaches, you would never think that would be part of what they would put in their contract. But if they put it in there, it's for a reason.
Well, he has one. Or was it the Post-Gazette? I honestly don't remember where I saw that. But he has one.
Well, then that would make it more difficult. Let's just put it that way. But again, I don't think that's going to happen. I think
my best guess would be, as
we've seen in Cincinnati, this was a team that didn't make the playoffs. This was a team that had...
Oh, I thought Zach Taylor should be coach of the year now. Don't we give coach of the year to a guy who rallies his team late and goes 9-8? We're ready to build statues. The national media was the last two years.
They got rid of their people, and that's what I think necessarily has to be the next step if this falters completely, is that you'd look to change things around on your coaching staff.
Bob, you've already done that. How many times? You just had two coordinators in how many years? Three. Fichtner, Canada, and this guy.
But if it's not working, you still got to figure out the right one.
I know, but eventually come to the point that we can do the coordinator thing all we want? It might be somebody else who's at fault.
It's about, okay, maybe yes. But also, it's about better coordinators, not just guys who have associations.
Tomlin is the defensive coordinator.
But he's not the offensive coordinator, is he?
No. No, but how many times can you switch?
Well, I'm just saying.
But he's not the offensive coordinator.
But he does have a big say.
His offensive philosophy, and that leads us to our next topic, is Mike Tomlin's sudden lack of confidence in Russell Wilson. And how does that play out in the Ravens game? Going to bring back some quotes from Mike Tomlin, top of the hour, and talk about the Steelers quarterback situation going into this game. Is there a short leash on Russell? How does Tomlin play it? Because these quotes will open your eyes. It's almost like you have to hear him again to say, oh my God, wait a second. What is he saying there?